Dr. Talc had them both in separate classes one grim semester, during which they had disrupted his lectures with strange noises and impertinent, venomous questions that no one, aside from God, could possibly have answered. He shuddered. In spite of everything, he must reach Riley and extract an explanation and confession. One look at Mr. Riley and the students would understand that the note was the meaningless fantasy of a sick mind. He could even let the administration look at Mr. Riley. The solution was, after all, really a physical one, producing Mr. Riley in the abundant flesh. Dr. Talc sipped the vodka and V8 juice that he always had after a night of heavy social drinking and looked at his newspaper. At least the people in the quarter were having rowdy fun. He sipped his drink and remembered the incident of Mr. Riley's dumping all of those examination papers on the heads of that freshman demonstration beneath the windows of the faculty office building. The administration would remember it, too. He smiled complacently and looked at the paper again. The three photographs were hilarious. Common, bawdy people, at a distance, had always amused him. He read the article and choked, spitting liquid onto his smoking jacket. How had Riley ever sunk so low? He had been eccentric as a student, but now... How much worse the rumors would be if it were discovered that the note had been written by a hot dog vendor. Riley was the sort who would come to the campus with his wagon and try to sell hot dogs right before the social studies building. He would deliberately turn the affair into a three-ring circus. It would be a disgraceful farce in which he, Talc, would become the clown. Dr. Talc put down his paper and his glass and covered his face with his hands. He would have to live with that note. He would deny everything. Miss Annie looked at her morning newspaper and turned red. She had been wondering why it was so quiet over at the Riley household this morning. Well, this was the last straw. Now the neighborhood was getting a bad name. She couldn't take it anymore. Those people had to move. She'd get the neighbors to sign a petition. Patrolman Mancuso looked at the newspaper again. Then he held it to his chest, and the flashbulb popped. He had brought his own Brownie Holiday camera to the precinct and asked the sergeant to photograph him against certain official backdrops. The sergeant's desk, the steps of the precinct, a squad car, a traffic patrol woman whose specialty was school zone speeders. When there was only one exposure left, Patrolman Mancuso decided to combine two of the props for a dramatic finale. While the traffic patrol woman, pretending to be Lana Lee, climbed into the rear of the squad car, grimacing and shaking a vengeful fist, Patrolman Mancuso faced the camera with his newspaper and frowned sternly.
"Okay, Angelo, is that all?"
the patrolwoman asked, eager to get to a nearby school before the morning speed zone hours ended.
"Thank you very much, Gladys," Patrolman Mancuso said. "My kids wanted to get some more pictures to show their little friends."
"Well, sure,"
Gladys called, hurrying out of the precinct yard, her shoulder bag bursting with black speeding tickets.
"I guess they got a right to be proud of their papa. I'm glad I could help you out, honey. Anytime you want to take you some more pictures, just give me the word."